we mentioned it earlier talking with Gordon Deal, but one of the great things about doing the event is obviously all the interviews that we get to do, but it's also the people that we get to also meet and get to know a little bit more about. And so it's always fascinating when we have the opportunity to bring somebody on who we've spoken to before and find out kind of where things have gone since the last time that we've had a chance to talk. So as we were getting set up yesterday, I actually walked upstairs to go see James T. Harris and was trying to find him in the middle of the show. I ran into our next guest, Elena Maria Lopez. Good morning. It's good to see you again.
Good morning. And that's a really polite way of saying it. The truth is, Minnesota, I hijacked him. I was like, John Justice.
He's like, hey.
You will interview me again.
I'm coming on your show tomorrow, whether you like it or not.
I know. You're going to make me wake up really early.
Yep, we are. We did. Now, I don't think, did you have the cards last year? I don't think you had the cards last year, did you?
I did not have
You did not
cards
have the cards last year. So the cards, immigration fraud, whistleblower, and citizen advocate. We do want to catch up with what you've been doing for the past year. But for those that missed you on the show last year, that don't know your story, you know, break down your story and what it is that you now do.
Okay. Well, first of all, it was actually the first time I blindsided you because I was smiling and I was on James T. Harris's show, mm-hmm. and you saw me smiling and you're like, come on to my show. You're kind of funny. And you had no idea what my true story was, which was my Dutch husband, after I sponsored him in the country, tried to kill me. So you're like, wait a minute, you're a basket case. You should not be smiling and laughing so much.
This isn't a funny story.
This is not funny.
This is mental health recuperation. I do my best to laugh, you know, or either cry. So, you know, I prefer laughter. So I'm a domestic violence victim in hiding. I've become a whistleblower because what has happened to me, I found so many other victims in similar circumstances. A lot of the cases, they're not in hiding, but they have unknowingly sponsored someone into the country who has defrauded them, committed other types of fraud, financial fraud. Some people found out that they committed bigamy, that they brought in people under false identities, you know, also blindsided. So
sure.
I became a whistleblower on immigration fraud.
Before we get into the, and I know the immigration angle of this certainly plays a huge, massive component, certainly on the person who's doing the abusing's angle, because that's part of the motivation. But we've had a lot of discussions in Minnesota recently in regards to the hashtag MeToo movement, individuals accused of allegations, and a lot of that is emotional abuse. Sometimes it's physical abuse. But I'm curious, as you look at the news, you look at the hashtag MeToo movement, you see the stories of women that have been emotionally abused by men, what kind of relating do you see in those stories compared to what you went through, given the fact that the motivation on his end was immigration?
Well, I actually have strong feelings about that because I feel like a Me Too person as well. I had local police that refused to believe me and would not even investigate. So that when this, I'm Puerto Rican, if you can see my picture, I have like crazy curly hair. I'm also biracial. My dad's a black Puerto Rican, you know, so that when I had this tall, skinny white guy, you know, saying, oh, she's just making this up, and the cops looked a lot like him, the cops just believed him. And I'm like, wait a minute, are you even going to investigate? Like, as I'm fleeing for my life, and they would not investigate. So I do relate with the Me Too movement, but I've never expected anybody just to take my word for this. The only thing I've asked for from day one was investigate this, because I'm not making this up, and if I am, I should pay the consequences for making this up. So it's all about investigations, and a lot of times local law enforcement just doesn't want to bother.
Talk a little bit about the emotional stress of the relationship you were going through at the time, and because, if correct me if I'm wrong, and again I'm sort of going back from my mind from last year, but I mean, there was a ton of manipulation that he was wielding in order to get at what he was trying to get.
Right. I thought I was in a happy relationship. I thought I was happily married, and it was literally on the night before our second anniversary, he just coldly announces, okay, we're getting a divorce. And I just thought we were having marriage problems. But he manipulated me to make sure I got to that 2-year point,
yeah,
which is important legally, because that's when he's allowed a permanent green card and then a path to citizenship.
So what was, let's get to the end of that story, and then definitely want to talk about what you've been doing in the past year. So whatever happened with all that, what ended up being the sort of, is there a final outcome? Are you still working through this particular issue?
Yes, I am. I still go to a shrink to make sure I'm laughing and not crying. But I wish I could say there was a happy outcome. The truth is I'm still in hiding. And he's on a path to citizenship living in my, he might actually have U.S. citizenship. He's living in my former home. I can't give my friends my legal address. Like, people can't send me Christmas cards. It's ridiculous what I have to do to
still
keep safe. Still. And it gets worse because Department of Homeland Security, remember that new office that President Trump set up to help victims of immigrant crimes? Well, I contacted them. Not only would they not help me because I had to protect my ex-husband's privacy rights, but then they released all my personal information illegally over the internet into the media.
How does that happen?
I wish I could say it was something beyond government incompetence, but I really just don't know. So the fact that they put a domestic violence victim in hiding's information out over the internet and to the media is a big deal. Because
wow.
I've had to, once again, check in with my local police, let them know that there's been a breach to my safety. Like,
Are the local police, do they know your story now, and are they better about working with you and helping you now, or is there still...
Not really, because I fled to New Jersey from Pennsylvania, and for them to take any action, he has to try and kill me in New Jersey. And I'm like, great, let's just wait for that.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
So...
I'm sorry to be a downer. Good.
No,
thing in the morning, this is my reality, and this is why I try really hard not to cry on air, because I'm my reality. Sorry, guys. It sucks. My
insane.
Reality sucks.
It all started because someone was just wanted to get into this country, and they tricked you, basically,
mm-hmm. Right.
And deceived you,
right.
And entered into a relationship with you to get that green card, to get that marriage, so that they could get into this country.
And then when they came clean, tried to kill me, including at gunpoint. So, I mean, like, you know,
so
there's a reason why I'm in hiding.
We've got this criminal, and where was he from again?
The Netherlands.
We get this criminal. This is going to sound like a weird question, so forgive me if it comes out awkwardly. But, you know, this man is obviously a criminal. But in his day-to-day life, you know, outside of his interactions with you and outside of all of the hell that he's put you through, what does he do? Does he
have
just like a Porsche
job? He works for a Porsche dealership, which my family, it gets better. My family helped get him the job. So.
What?
He works for a Porsche dealership in the Philadelphia area. I had to hire a retired FBI agent during my divorce because everything unfolded so quickly and local law enforcement wouldn't help me. And I'm going, what's going on here? Either I'm going crazy or everything isn't what it seems. We found out this was the tip of the iceberg. They should have never even let him into the country because he was involved in criminal activities overseas too. And we documented that and we legally documented that and sent it to the Department of Homeland Security, and they still did nothing.
It's Twin Cities News Talk, Justice and Drew. We are live in Washington, D.C. for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, Hold Their Feet to the Fire, talking with Elena Maria Lopez. Is there anything that you're waiting on currently? Is there anything that you're waiting on with this situation, or is this just your reality now? With this particular individual, or are there still possibility for things to be, however they could be remedied?
Okay, so this is the admission from the token Democrat here. My reality is the same, but the only thing that can actually change things for me is the Trump administration, because this is the first administration in forever that has actually been interested in enforcing existing immigration law as well as tightening loopholes.
Okay.
Have you been, you know, we're 2 years into the Trump administration. How would you grade their efforts so far, despite, you know, what you've personally gone through on a broader scale? Do you feel like you're pleased with the approach and the job that they're doing so far, or is it
the
still
overall
very
administration or immigration?
On immigration specifically.
Okay, I'll stick to immigration. I'm actually happy. I think there's been some hiccups, and I know I'll say that politely, but I think there's definitely been some hiccups, but I think I'm quite pleased with how willing they are to try and root out fraud. I haven't seen that in a very long time.
At least a desire. I mean, at a bare minimum. Mm-hmm. You know, we've, in years past, doing this particular event, we've talked to people who have been, who live here in D.C., and had arrived here and had not been here very long before they quickly realized that it was both sides of the, you know, both left and right that were taking advantage of the immigration situation.
Absolutely.
And nobody wants to give either way because they can both see it politically advantageous for both. It does appear that the Trump administration is at least leaning more towards the enforcement side of it. We've seen some action on the national level when it comes to individuals being held accountable that weren't being held accountable before. So I guess at a bare minimum, the fact that they're willing to listen is a step in the right direction.
Right. And I've actually discovered, I gave you information, people can find out about it on immigrationfraud.com. I actually discovered a series of national security cases. Because I've become an advocate, I collect cases from around the country. And when I started seeing certain patterns, I basically tripped over a national security loophole. And the FBI contacted me about that last year, and I presented those cases to the White House in June. So hopefully something will be done about that.
Well, keep up the good work and stay in touch with us. You know, keep us posted, you know, if, as your story develops, because it doesn't look like, you know, it doesn't look like your tale is going to end anytime soon.
I just want to use my name in my hometown. I would love to come out in public and be like, here's who I really am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what has to happen to make that happen? I mean, what needs to take place?
Hey, the evidence is already, it exists to actually deport him. They just have to actually launch an investigation, realize they should have never let him into the country, and that he should have never been given a green card, and deport him. I want my life back, guys.
Before we let you go, just real quick, I'm curious your situation, and when you see other immigration controversies, right? We had the big border flare up that took place, you know, within the past, you know, year. And of course the issue of ICE and people calling for the abolishing of ICE. I'm curious, when you see those stories, sort of where your thoughts go to those particular issues, given your background.
I think ICE is overwhelmed. I don't think they're given enough power in terms of enforcement. So therefore they're just kind of picking on the low-hanging fruit. In terms of those issues, I know the level of asylum fraud. So when people are talking about how they're turning away asylum seekers at the border, most of the cases involve fraud. And insiders know that.
Elena, we've got a caller that has a comment. You mind taking a call with us real quick?
Not at all.
Go ahead and bring up Steve. Steve, good morning. You're on with Justice and Drew and Elena.
Good morning, guys. I just want to speak towards a program for the state of Minnesota. Some of the listeners might may or may not know this. It's called Safe at Home. It allows a person who may be a victim of domestic violence or, you know, situation similar to Elena's there, where they can get a address that put on for mailing and for their driver's license that isn't public. I believe it's run by the Secretary of State's office, and it's called Safe at Home. It's a state-run program.
Steve, thanks for mentioning that. Actually, I am a part of that program in New Jersey, and that's what they work with a team of lawyers, and they help keep me safe. So that is a great program. Or similar programs around the country are being offered in terms of that.
Good. Yeah, good. Thanks for your call.
Elena Maria Lopez, any information where you want people to go and get more info you want to share?
You can get information on immigrationfraud.com. You can do ElenaMariaLopez.com, but the easy version is Think New Jersey, Yo Lopez. It's the same website.
Gotcha.
Just go to YoLopez.com or immigrationfraud.com.
Well, it was great talking with you once again. Just like we said last year, we hope that things get better and that this, you know, that there's some justice done in your particular situation.
Well, thank you for the intelligent conversation first thing in the morning. This was worth getting up for.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you.